Hey, this is Kaylee Moore.
And this is Paul Jarvis.
And welcome to the Creative Class Podcast.
A podcast for freelancers.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Yay!
We'd like to thank our sponsor and friends at FreshBooks, purveyors of fine cloud-based accounting software.
FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to all of our listeners.
Yay! So check them out at freshbooks.com/cc and enter Creative Class in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
So Paul, I think one of the biggest lessons I've learned as a freelancer is that it's so important to be friends and to make friends and to kind of put it on your to-do list to find other freelancers who do what you do or that do similar work and to be friends with them. It's kind of a simple idea, but I feel like it's been one of the biggest things that's changed my freelance business, my freelance career over the past 4 years. And I wanted to know what you thought about that. Do you think that making friends is important for the business or just kind of like a nice to have?
Yeah, I think it is 100% important because I think we all kind of like, I think we know this to be true, but we don't pursue it or make it a process. And it's a fact that business is 100% relationships. Business, it doesn't matter what level, from freelance to like Fortune 500 companies, it is who you know.
It is.
Right? So the more people you know, the more people, and I'm not talking about like whatever it's called where like you email somebody and like then you ask them for something. Whatever, that's slipping my mind, probably because I blocked it from my mind. We're definitely not talking about that, where it's like just trying to know as many people as possible so you can use them in the future for your own benefit. We're talking about like actual friendship friends, like people that you talk to about things that aren't work as well. Because I think that that one benefits your mental health, but kind of important, mm-hmm. but two, I think is a great benefit to your business. So how did you come to this and why do you think it's beneficial and in what specific ways has it been beneficial to you?
So when I started freelancing, I wasn't really sure how I was going to get new clients, but I knew that I had a couple referral people and that those almost always panned out when I had an introduction to an opportunity from somebody who already knew me. So that's kind of the first time I started figuring out that having friends who either are freelancers or who work within the industry I'm trying to work within, that that was a really helpful thing for the business because not only did those people know and trust me and, you know, were willing to introduce me to people who had opportunities for work, they were almost like pre-qualifying me for jobs that were a good fit for what I did because I wasn't just some stranger to them. You know, they knew exactly the type of work that I did. They knew me as a person. And so that was a great opportunity as far as getting a foot in the door for new opportunities. So that was one part of it. And then the other part was the longer I freelanced, I live in the Midwest. I live in a pretty rural area. So there's not co-working spaces. There's not meetups or anything like that around me. And I found that I was getting really lonely and kind of feeling isolated as a freelancer as I got further into my career. So I started being really deliberate about trying to make friends, which sounds kind of sad now that I'm saying it out loud.
No, this is so important though, because I wanted to bring that up as well. I don't think it sounds sad. I think it just sounds like awkward. Like,
please be my friend.
Continue, because this is super, super important. So continue.
Yes. So, you know, I started reaching out to people that I wanted to get to know better, whether they were, you know, sometimes they were freelance writers doing similar work to what I was doing. Sometimes they were people, you know, in the e-commerce world or the software as a service industry. They were just people that I kind of felt out online, whether it was through Twitter or Instagram, whatever. And we kind of had similar interests. And so I would say, hey, do you want to have like a virtual coffee chat sometime? And, you know, we'd get together for 30 minutes and we'd just kind of get to know each other a little bit better. I wasn't going into those like, hey, maybe you'll hire me for some work. You know, there wasn't an ulterior motive to those activities, but I found that the more I did that and the more I got to know people better, it just kind of organically led to new opportunities. I was never asking for them, but as people got to know me better and know the services that I offer and kind of what my goals were for the business that I had, it just happened. And so I started doing that more regularly. And like you said, it was good for my mental health. It made me feel more connected, despite the fact that I live in a town with, you know, not a lot of people in the middle of a cornfield.
I'm picturing that as literal as well. It's like your house is just in the middle of a bunch of
corn. Basically, it is. So that's accurate. But yeah, I mean, it just totally changed the way I felt about the business and the income that I was making too. So two major benefits to this type of activity for sure.
So on Monday, September 14th, 2005 at 9:13 a.m., I got an email from you. Do you remember this?
Yes.
Okay. Because
yes, I do.
Now, like, we work together teaching creative class. But like in 2005, you emailed me and you were just like, hey, how's it going? If you have 50 minutes to chat this week, I'd love the chance to talk. Pretty open. Just let me know. And I was like, cool. Because like I knew who you were on Twitter and stuff like that. I was like, cool. And then we like talked on Skype just about, I think, random things, maybe a bit of business, but mostly just like other stuff. And like that started our relationship. Like we got to know each other a bit better. And we passed emails back and forth for a couple of years. And then when you contacted me earlier this year, I can't remember what it was. I think you were contacting me saying something about when I was looking for some testimonials or some case studies for creative class. And you had a really good one. And you said something that I was like, oh my God, this is super smart. And I can't even remember what it is. So that just shows that I'm not very smart. But it was something about how you could help. It could benefit my business in a specific way if you helped with like writing a case study or something. I can't remember what it was. Maybe you remember better than me because my memory sucks.
Yeah, I think it was templates or something like that.
Yes, templates.
Or like add-ons for the
yeah,
course.
Yeah, and you said how and why specifically it could help the business. And I was like, I know, Kaylee. Like we talked a bunch of times. We talked on Twitter. We have some mutual friends now as well. And I was like, this kind of makes sense. Like, I only like working with people that I know. And I think it's probably bad.
I think most people do.
But like, I hate, like we've discussed this at length in other episodes. I don't like managing people. So I only want to work with people who I know are just going to like beast mode, get stuff done. Mm-hmm. And then when you said like, oh, I can help with this, I was like, I think you can help even more. How about you just become like a partner in the course completely? And then luckily you said yes as well. But like that was when you emailed me in 2015, like that was definitely not, like I'm speaking for you here, but like that definitely was, unless it was on your radar and you're like some crazy mastermind, like Dr. Claw with your cat. Like, I can't remember what Dr. Claw's cat's name is from Inspector Gadget.
Me either. It's
anyways,
escaping me.
Total tangent. But yeah, so I think it just turned like having like business relationships with people or friendships with people can turn into things that you don't like. Your intention shouldn't be to get something from that other person. But I think if you're open to it and if you're just open to like making friends, which I brought this up when you were telling your story that like it's hard to make friends as an adult. And I know for me, like my wife and I have moved around a lot as adults, like a lot to different cities, different like very far geographic regions. And like, it's tough to make friends. And I mean, like you live in the middle of a cornfield in the Midwest. I live in the woods on an island where there is nothing. Like there are two people who work in tech where I live out of about 900. I know both of those two people just because like, I too like to like try to like network and make friends with people. And one of them is in cryptocurrency. The other one's in like this weird, like large building automation and stuff. But like there isn't a co-working space in the woods. Like we don't meet each other at like the ocean or anything like that. But I think it's good to, that would be, so one of the guys I do like go hiking and stuff like that together. But I think that, one, it's difficult, but two, I think it's really important. Even like, I'm super introverted, like I'm so antisocial. And it's funny, and I don't know if you're the same way, but like before like hanging out with somebody, I'm always like, I totally don't want to do this. And I'm like thinking up in my head, like excuses I can make to get out of it. But then I do actually like go hang out with somebody. I'm like, oh, what was I thinking before? Like, I'm having a lot of fun. Like, I'm enjoying, like, having a conversation with another human being.
Yeah. I mean, if you work remotely from home alone and there's nobody there to be your coworker, even if it's just to bounce ideas off of or to rant or to, you know, celebrate when something goes really well, you don't have those people. So it's good to have you know, different channels that you can go to for that type of interaction, or to have people that you can hop on a Skype call with, whatever it may be. Because otherwise you're going to get lonely and you're going to be like, I don't want to freelance anymore. This isn't fun. I'm lonely all the time. I'll just go back to a normal job.
Yeah.
Because I know that I've thought about that. I know that other freelancers I'm pretty close with have had the same kind of back and forth waffling over. So I think it's something that a lot of freelancers really struggle with. And I don't see a lot of people talking about it. So I'm glad that we're discussing. So you're racing against the clock to try to wrap up three different projects. You're prepping for a meeting later in the afternoon, and all of this is happening while you're trying to tackle a mountain of paperwork. Welcome to life as a freelancer.
Challenging? You betcha. But our friends at FreshBooks believe the rewards are so worth it.
The all-new FreshBooks is not only ridiculously easy to use, it's also packed full of features like being able to create and send professional-looking invoices in less than 30 seconds,
setting up online payments with just a couple of clicks and getting paid up to 4 days faster,
and being able to see when your client has looked at your invoice and put an end to the guessing game.
FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to all of our beautiful listeners. To claim it, go to freshbooks.com/cc and enter creative class in the How Did You Hear About Us section. So what are those? Because you mentioned that like having channels to chat with other freelancers is important. What are the channels that you have and that you use for friends?
So I use Twitter. Yeah, I use Twitter mostly. I kind of work in sprints throughout the day. So on my breaks in between those, I check in on Twitter. I might go back and forth with a few people there. I'm also in a couple of good Facebook groups that are pretty active. I'm on a couple Slack channels with different types of people. And then I just recently started a virtual mastermind group with a couple other women who work kind of in the content type world, kind of the same industries, a little bit of software, a little bit of e-commerce. So again, and I also always, at least two or three a month, I try to put on my calendar with a new person or with somebody that I had a coffee chat with before and it went really well. I try to make those a regular part of my month so that I'm being really deliberate about staying connected and meeting new people and really making it a priority, because otherwise that time just gets filled up with other work or wasted on Twitter, you know, down the rabbit hole of Reddit, whatever it may be. So yeah, I think that those channels are great ways to kind of find other people and to start making those connections that are helpful down the road for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah. I want to deconstruct how you started your mastermind group a bit, though. Can you talk? Okay. Can you talk about that? Because I know a bunch of people have asked me. Because I'm also in a mastermind group, and that's, I think we've been going for 2.5 years. They actually just came to the island where I live on, and we hung out like in person, in real life. Kind of scary for like, but it was pretty awesome for 2 days as well, which I think was really good. So how did you? Because I get that question a lot, like, well, mastermind group sounds great. Like, how do you start it and whatnot? So kind of walk us through how that came about and how, like, the nuts and bolts of starting it worked.
It was really pretty simple. I reached out to another freelance, well, she's not freelance anymore, but she works with similar clients that I work with. She does content creation. But I said, hey, you know, I heard Nathan Barry at SumoCon last year talk about how beneficial his mastermind group was. I think that we need to have one for women who are kind of in the world that we work in. And so she came up with a handful of people. I came up with a handful of people that either I already knew that were in that world or that I wanted to get to know better. And we just said, hey, you know, we're going to get on a Google Hangout for this first meeting, just kind of introduce each other, get to know what we do. And we're going to make this a regular thing. And, you know, I sent out an email that had kind of some nuts and bolts. I explained why we were doing this. I outlined the benefits for each person we invited. I set some basic parameters. So like, if you don't show up for two calls, we probably won't invite you for the next one, just to kind of add some accountability. And we set a topic for each time. So either it's, you know, troubleshooting, if a person has a particular problem that they want to work on, we always have some sort of theme. So we're not just getting there and like, hey, how's it going? Super awkward. We have some sort of agenda that we're working on and a set time frame. We usually do about 45 to 50 minutes. And so we are getting ready for call number 3. It's still pretty new. Call number 3 is next Monday, and it's been great so far. I really like it, and I hope that one day we can all get together and meet up in person, because I think that'd be great. I think that would be a nice group of people who, as we chat more, we'll get to know each other better, and it'll be a great core group of people who have a lot in common and know a lot about each other. I think it would be, I think that's a good idea. I like that.
Yeah, I like the way that you've kind of set that up. And I think to go back to the first point about importance to like make friends and to get to know people, I think it would be, and correct me if I'm wrong, it would be harder to come up with people for a mastermind group if you weren't already like networking and connecting with others. Yeah.
Right. I think that's true.
Because you were very specific and deliberate with like the type of women that you reached out to join the group. So I think.
Right. It wasn't just anyone. It was a pretty strategic group of people. Mm-hmm.
And so how often do you all meet?
We meet once a month.
Cool. And is there like, I'm super curious about this. So like, does somebody take notes or do you all take notes?
I do. Yeah. And then I send out an email after every call. And it's very loose structured. Mm-hmm. There's not, you know, it's just we get together and we chat and it's still pretty new too. So I think it might evolve with time. But so far it's been nice just getting to know these other women who I see all the time in the same circle as me. And I really wanted to know more about their work and what their struggles are and what's going really well, things like that. So this has been great for that.
And I like that there is a topic for each one. Right. Like, I think that's really cool to do. I hadn't thought about that, but I like that idea a lot because then it's not just that. Yeah. Like you said, it's not just sitting awkwardly like, hey, what are you working on today?
Yeah. How's it going? Yeah.
Cool.
Structure's good.
I like that a lot. And I think that, so I think there's two kinds of mastermind groups. So I think the first one is the one that you and I are talking about where it's a group of peers where everybody, not necessarily in the exact same place, but everybody's in kind of a similar place. So it's easier to like empathize and relate to everybody doing kind of similar work. It doesn't have to be similar work, but like doing something where you understand enough to be able to offer helpful suggestions. I think the other kind of mastermind group and where I've seen a lot of people kind of like sour the idea of like a master. My wife calls, I keep wanting to say Masters of the Universe because my wife calls it my weekly Masters of the Universe call, but it's a mastermind group. We're not playing like He-Man like scenarios anyways. But I think that the other type of mastermind group that I think has soured some people, not everybody, because I'm sure they exist where they're good, is where you pay to be in a mastermind group where there's somebody who's like further along in the journey than everybody else in the group. And then it's kind of like a structured led group coaching mastermind group.
Right. I've heard of those too. I haven't been part of one, but I know that that's the other kind.
Yeah, and I think that that's very different where ours are just like, it's a bunch of peers talking to other peers about things that those peers are dealing with. I'm just going to say peers a whole lot of times.
All the peers.
Yeah, anything else that you wanted to add to this? I think that that's really good. I'm so glad I learned about your mastermind group as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's great to, I mean, if you don't have those things nearby, like me, if you either of it's where you live or you can't find the right group of people that you mesh with, I think thanks to the internet, there are so many opportunities for kind of building your own or finding ones to join. I think it's just a matter of making it a priority and really committing to, hey, I really need to do this for myself. I know that it helps me feel better about the work that I'm doing. It keeps me sane. It helps me have some outside perspective because it's very easy to stay in your own bubble. That's for sure. Been there. Yeah, I think doing this and making it a priority is just smart. It's smart for your business. It's smart for your mental health. It's just a good thing. It's fun.
I totally agree, especially after hanging out with those peeps in real life. It was really, so I'll end with that because that's kind of an interesting story, is that it's really, I feel like we got a lot deeper into a lot of conversation because like I've been talking to these people for a couple years now. And I hadn't met either in real life. Like my mastermind group was really little. And it was interesting that I felt like we could get a lot deeper in a lot of subjects that were continually coming up with each other because we know, like at this point, we know each other really, really well. Like we're masters of the universe together or something. So I felt like, I don't think having the things in person is necessarily like, you need to do this, but like it was interesting to see how the dynamic of the group changed in person in a good way, like how we could really like, because we care about each other.
Right.
Like these people like are people that I really care about because I've got to know them over like years of time. And we could really really push each other pretty hard about things that we were hung up on or things that we were struggling with and really get like some decent answers. So I thought that was really interesting as well. And I was against the idea, like straight up, honestly, like I was against the idea of hanging out with them, not because I didn't want to, but just because like, if I don't have to hang out with people, it's like, but again, like I was like, oh, I kind of resist this. And then when I was hanging out with them, I was like, this is so much fun. Like these people are so fun.
Aww.
So yeah.
Now I'm super excited. Now I want to have an in-person meetup. Maybe I should get to know them a little bit better first, yeah. though. One of the people in the group I've met up with in person, and it was fantastic, but I've never done a larger group before, so that might be different.
Yeah, cool.
Cool.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to this episode.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes if you like this.
And don't forget to check out our course, The Creative Class, which is at creativeclass.co.